said, who's the man? Good morning, Rock family. I want to say hello to everyone here in the room and everyone tuning in online. Welcome to our Sunday service. If you do not know me, my name is Allison, but my friends and family call me Allie, and I think I'm standing in front of friends and family this morning. Can I get an amen? I have the pleasure of serving as the lead youth and young adult pastor for this church. And before we get into the message, I just want to make sure that I extend a special thank you. We did a quick recap of our future camp, but I wanted to extend just a thank you to a lot of you here in this room that approached me and my team and Hayden and just said, hey, how can we support you guys for future? How can we donate? How can we serve? And because of generosity, a lot of students had their lives transformed last week. And that's the kind of church that we are a part of. Try my best not to cry. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you're a student here in this room, can you make some noise if you went to future? Yes, God did an amazing thing, and we do this for you. I also want to give another shout out to our pastor, Pastor Miles McPherson. He'll be back in a few weeks, but he is also another reason why we dream so big, because he gives us an opportunity to do so, and we are all in for the next generation. So can we clap it up for our senior pastor? Now, over the last couple of weeks, and for most of this early summer, we have been going through a series called We Need to Talk. How many of you have been blessed by this series so far? We've been just tackling topics that you guys have asked for us to preach about. Last week, my brother covered the topic of identity, and today I will be covering the topic of purpose. Now, for today's message, this message will not be one about how to find your purpose. Those are great. But I won't be doing that today. I won't be talking about how to live in purpose, but I am going to be talking about the number one threat to all of our purpose, and that is procrastination. Ooh, the saints just, I felt that. I felt that in my shondo. So with that being said, I want to let you know that this message is not about me being clever. I want to get the word into your heart. And so I want to give you the anchor passage that's going to guide us throughout this time. And it's Proverbs 6:4. It says, do not put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. If you're taking notes, I want to give you the title for this message today. And it reads like this. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we have an opportunity to be in this room. There are so many people across our locations and here in this room that came here expectant to hear from you. And so, Father, I move myself out of the way. I know I'm standing here, and it feels like I'm holding on to the hem of your garment because I've been tired for the last 5 days. But they don't need to hear me. They need to hear you. They came to hear you. And so right now, I surrender my voice to you. Would you give me your words? You know exactly who is in this room. You know exactly what they need to hear, and I pray that you meet them right where they're at. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. And Rock Church says, amen. About 15 years ago, Nike did a campaign that was one of the most successful campaigns they had ever done. Now, if you're familiar with Nike, a lot of their promotion is geared towards athletes. And they had a season where they thought to themselves, you know what, we want to expand our reach and go beyond athletes. And so they thought to themselves, hey, how do we do this? How do we meet an elite athlete and also the common individual, and how do we meet them in the middle? How do we promote something that reaches both of them? And they realized that what elite athletes and common people have in common is that they have dreams and goals. So they start off with this campaign and they post these huge billboards across iconic cities with the message that encourages people to pursue their dreams, pursue their goals, but also remind them that there's one thing that can keep people from reaching their goals. And that is procrastination. And so as they went through this, they had no visuals, but they had these massive billboards in iconic cities, kind of similar to the one you'll see on the screen. It said, "Yesterday you said tomorrow." And so they will pull up in New York and Atlanta and California, and it stirred conversations in people's hearts and made them wonder, I'm not an athlete, but I know that I have a purpose. What is it that I can do today that I have been putting off until tomorrow? Now, I know this may sound like a cool slogan, but I want to see who is in the room because I believe it's resonating with people. But I want to just have everyone just raise your hand real quickly and say this and answer this. If you have a goal or a dream that you are hoping to accomplish this year, can you raise your hand? Look at all these people. Look around the room. Look around the room. Everyone here in this room can attest to having a goal and a dream that they have been chasing after. And I believe that God has a divine purpose for everyone here in this room and those who are tuning online and will watch us at a later date. God has a divine purpose for all of us. But if I can tell you, one of the biggest threats to our purpose is that when we wait until tomorrow to do what God says and move it to today, we miss the mark. So one of the biggest threats to our purpose is waiting until tomorrow to do what God said to do today. Now let me slow this down for you again. The greatest threat to our purpose is taking what he told you to do today and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Now this leads us into our passage for today. And if you have your Bible, I want to encourage everyone to open up to Exodus chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Now, I know that's a lot of verses, but I got you covered. We're going to give you some context. Everyone say, Allie, give me some context. All right, chill. I'm going to give you some context. All you had to do was ask. All you had to do was ask. Now, before we read these verses, I want to give you guys some context about what we are getting ready to step into. Now, The children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. And the scripture tells us in Exodus that when Pharaoh was seeing how big the community was growing, it said that he was growing weary because if they got too big, he was wondering if they were going to overthrow his government, overthrow his ruling, overthrow what he was building because Pharaoh was the god of his world. But in just a moment, he's going to get in contact with the God of this world. And so as we keep going, we see that Pharaoh is scared. And when people are scared and insecure and think they're in control, they do things out of that. And so he decided that he wanted to make life miserable for the Israelites. He made their living conditions miserable. He made their working conditions miserable. But God knew and heard and seen all of his children crying for help. And he sent a deliverer by the name of Moses. Now, when he sent his deliverer by the name of Moses, he gave him very clear instructions. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him this. There's a new sheriff in town. Let my people go. But he warns Moses that Pharaoh is not going to just give over his people so easily. He's going to put up a fight. And every single time that you approach him, there's always going to be something. So Moses goes, and he approaches Pharaoh. And the first time he approaches him, he says, Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And Pharaoh responds, all right, that's cute, but this God you speak of, I don't know him. I'm the God of Egypt. So show me what's up. And Moses was already prepped by God to make sure that he positioned himself to present a miracle before him so he can know where the real authority lies. So when Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go, he then takes his staff, throws it on the ground, and turns it into a snake. Then Pharaoh goes, that's cute. My boys can do the same. And then they do the same thing and turn a stick into a snake. But then God ups the ante. He said, all right, cool. You didn't really like my little snake trick, but I got more because I am the God who rules everything. So Moses comes again and says, Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh once again is like, yo, this God that you're speaking of, he ain't me. I'm good. I'm not doing. This time, the true God who has the actual authority shows his hands and turns the Nile River into blood. But then at the same time, the people of Pharaoh who work for Pharaoh do the same thing. So as this keeps going, Pharaoh's like, this God you speak of, the people who I have working for me can also do the same thing. And Moses approaches him for a third time, and this is where our reading picks up. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 through 10, and it reads this. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. Everyone say, that's nasty. Say, that's nasty. It sure is. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole entire country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people and into your ovens and into kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials. Everyone say, that's nasty. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh was like, you know what? I don't want the smoke with your God, so go on, Moses, come and take care of this. And it says, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take these frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. And Pharaoh said, okay, do it tomorrow. Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know there was no one like the Lord our God. Eyes up here. So you're probably wondering, all right, Pastor Ali, you read about 10 verses about frogs. Is this a sermon about adopting a pet? No, it's not. When you read a passage like this, it's very easy for you to kind of go through this, read it as a normal story, and kind of miss the details. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a look at some of the things that we have missed in order for us to understand the significance of this story. In verses 1 through 3, God tells Moses what he's going to do. He knows that Pharaoh is going to have a hard heart. And he tells him, I am going to up the ante. I am going to show Pharaoh who is truly God. I am going to let him know who truly has authority. And I am going to send these frogs on his land. But then the passage gets super descriptive. It starts saying the frogs are in the house, they're in the kitchen, they're in the room, they're on people, and on all of his homies. I don't know about you, but if I was one of Pharaoh's friends and I had frogs all over me, I would tell Pharaoh, listen, I know you want to beef with God, but I'm going to need you to cut this little fight right now. Can I get an amen? But look at this visual. There are frogs everywhere. And I know in this room, there's probably those people, when you see a bug, you want to catch them and release them into the atmosphere. Then you got the people in there in the room, when you catch a bug, You want to make him your friend. But if you're anything like me, when I see a bug, I run into ongoing traffic and I lose my mind. But here in this instance, we see Pharaoh respond in kind of a weird way. He sees all these frogs coming and taking over the land, messing with his friends, and he knows that he can go to Pharaoh and go to Moses and ask him to get rid of these frogs. So he summons him and says, hey, I need you to get rid of these frogs. And here's where we need to not glance over with this. Moses tells Pharaoh, you tell me the day, you tell me the time, and I will intercede on your behalf and make sure that these frogs go away. But in this moment, Pharaoh doesn't say, hey, can you get rid of these frogs today? He says, get rid of them tomorrow. Get rid of the thing that I know is uncomfortable tomorrow. Get rid of the thing that I know your God can handle. Do it tomorrow. And some of you may be sitting here today and you're like, oh man, I can't believe Pharaoh would do that. He wants to spend another night with frogs? I almost called the sermon a Friday night with frogs. Because if you think about it, Pharaoh was comfortable with being uncomfortable. And he spent the night with frogs. And if you know anything about frogs, frogs are not silent. They're loud. And honestly, they're not cute. But he said, no, do it tomorrow. Now, it's easy for us to point at Pharaoh and point the blame at him and ask ourselves, I would never do it. But there's also, I know, people here in this room where maybe literally you don't have frogs in your house, but you have things that God has been asking you to deal with. And you have been saying, you know what, God, I know I need to handle this today, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. Some of you here in this room, God has been calling you out of a relationship and you know it's not good for you. But you say, you know what? I'm going to stay in a couple more days. I'll deal with it tomorrow. I even know there are people here in this room where God has been calling you out of your job and you've been comfortable in it, but you're saying, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. And if we miss it, we don't realize that the same way that Pharaoh responded, we do it every day when we take the thing that we know God calls us to do today and we say, I'll do it tomorrow. And that is what procrastination does. Procrastination gives us this false belief that we are in control, that we know what's good. Procrastination makes us feel like we are the rulers of our lives. See, Pharaoh was the same way. Pharaoh was the god of his own world, and he was always trying to keep things in control. And that is what procrastination always makes us feel like. We're in control. We're the god of our own world. And I'm telling you today, Rock Church, if we are going to step into our purpose, if you're going to receive the fullness of what God has for you, procrastination can no longer be something that you do and you're comfortable with. Putting things off for tomorrow can't be something that you are no longer comfortable with. You have to start getting uncomfortable right now and start saying, I'm going to start doing what God calls me to do without delay. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like Pharaoh, being willing to have a sleepover with frogs if we don't recognize that procrastination does the very same thing. And so today, I want to introduce you guys to three lies that procrastination makes you believe that are a threat to your purpose. Number one, procrastination makes you believe that you are in control. Again, throughout Exodus, we see that Pharaoh was concerned that there was going to be another nation that was going to be more powerful than him. And as a result, he did whatever he could to keep the people of Israel in control. He made their working conditions hard. He made their living conditions hard. Whenever you are insecure, you always try to latch onto things that you can control. And that is what procrastination lies and tells you, that you are in control. And I heard a quote that says this: later is the enemy of obedience. Now, some of you are like, procrastination doesn't sound so bad, but listen to me, family. Procrastination is so much bigger than just checking off tasks. Your delaying in what God is calling you to do could be delaying your destiny. It could be delaying what God has for you. And so if you continue to hold on tight to what you think you should be doing, you're missing the whole thing. And as I was thinking about this point, I was like, okay, you know what? I got to keep it real because I'm a pastor, so I can't just stand up here and tell you, don't try to be like you're in control. You have to be real. And I remember thinking to myself a moment that I had with my mom. I love my mom, and you've heard me preach. You know that she is from the Caribbean, and Caribbean mamas do not play. Once they say something, you better say it, or off to heaven you go with the quickness. And I remember one day she called me and told me, hey, Allie, your car registration got sent to the house. You should probably come and pick it up. And I was like, all right, cool, Mom. I got this. I'll come and pick it up. But guess what happened? Being the irresponsible adult that I am, I let it go for 1 week, for 2 weeks, for, as my parents would say, for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks. And my sweet mom, she didn't put no base in this one. She calls me and says, hey, Allie, it's been 6 weeks. And this mail with your registration is still here. And I'm like, okay, Mom, I got this. I'm grown. Don't worry. I got you. I'm coming by the house. I'm going to get this registration. Then it goes to 10 weeks and 11 weeks and 12 weeks. Next thing you know it, I'm driving on the freeway and I'm looking over my shoulder making sure the cops don't pull me over. Your girl is riding dirty. And then my mom calls me for the third time. And this time, she got a little bit of bass in her voice. And you say, you see, I tell you to come and check the mail. Your registration is here. And I remember thinking to myself, I started getting irritated. I started getting, upset that she kept, telling me to do the thing that I know she's right about. And then I had a moment where I was like, why am I getting mad at my mom for reminding me to do something that is correct? And as I did a deep dive in my heart, I realized, oh, this is just pride. This is just my pride trying to prove that I have everything all together. This is just my pride trying to show her that I got everything under control. But I didn't. And my registration that could have been way cheaper was sky high because I wanted to be in control. My friends, procrastination gives you a false reality that you are in control. Don't fall into it. Lie number two, procrastination lies to you and makes you feel like settling is safe. In verse 3, it says, the Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the house of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you, and your people and all your officials will have it on them too. And as you see this visual, it's so vivid. This whole entire area that once was his safe place was now infiltrated with frogs. And then when you read through Exodus, you'll see that every time that Moses approached Pharaoh, the signs and wonders that happened in front of Pharaoh never touched him, but this third one got all up in his business, got all up in his house. And because it got so close to his business, it got personal. But the crazy thing is even in it getting personal, the Pharaoh was okay with the living conditions he was in. He was okay with not getting a quick resolution. He was okay with spending the night with the frogs. even if it didn't make sense. He settled for something less when he knew he could have more to prove a point. That's what settling safe does. It makes you settle for less. It makes you settle for safe. Now, at the peak of Magic Johnson's career, he was offered by two companies a contract, one with Nike and one with Converse. And at the time, Nike was not the premier company at the time. Converse was. So Nike approached Magic Johnson and said, you know what? I know that we are a new upcoming company and we don't have a lot of money to give you, but what we do have to offer you is stock. So Magic Johnson's like, okay, like you guys are up and coming, but y'all don't have money to give me. So let me see what Converse is talking about. And Converse at the time was the premier company. And they go to Magic Johnson and say, hey, Magic, I see what you're doing. We want to offer you $100,000 cash and sign with us. What do you think that he chose? Nike or Converse? Converse. When you hear about this deal, Magic Johnson says it is one of the most, the deal that he regrets the most. Because if he had taken the stock that they offered him then, he would literally be a trillionaire. Literally. But in the moment, all he knew was, I want to settle for safe. I want to settle for less than, because doing the other is too risky. And when we settle for safe, we end up in moments where we get called to procrastinate and do things that we know we should do right now, today. And that's what procrastination does. It makes you believe that settling is safe. My third and final point, procrastination and the lie that it makes you believe is that your timing is better than God's timing. Yep, y'all felt that? I'll read it again. Come on, Jesus. Lie number three, your timing is better than God's timing. In verse 9, Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. And the Pharaoh says, tomorrow, it will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. Pharaoh, in this verse, shows you a perfect example of what it looks like when we think our timing is better than God's timing. God goes up to Moses and tells him, hey, go, ask him, give him a time. Tell him I'll get rid of the thing that's been driving him crazy with his frogs. And instead of Pharaoh taking advantage of the opportunity to get rid of the frogs in the moment, he says tomorrow. And that is a perfect example of what it looks like when we start believing that we know what time is best. Some of you here in this room are wrestling with that very idea right now, where you want to be in a relationship, but you don't want to trust God's timing. You want a specific job, but you don't want to rush God's timing. You're seeking out friendships, but you don't want to trust God's timing. Friends, can I tell you today, can you make Pharaoh an example? Nobody knows what's best but God. Trust his timing. He's never late. He's always on time. He knows what's best. He is for you, not against you. And he sees from the beginning and the end. And as I was thinking about this final point, it hit so hard in my heart because I thought about my relationship with my godmother. And she was like a bonus mom to me, kind of double coverage. I knew that when I woke up in the morning, if I never said a prayer, I knew my godmother was praying for me, which I know sounds ignorant, but that's how I thought when I was in the world. And I had a close relationship with her. But as she got older, she got really sick. And I used to talk to her every single day. And I remember there was a season in my life where I was in a relationship that I was begging God, like, God, this has to be it. His hair is curly. This has to be the one. And I believed in my heart that he was the one. But then he ended up breaking up with me. And I remember going to see my godmother at the hospital, and I told her what happened. I said, Mama, I used to call her Bonus Mama. Can you believe what he did? That man with the curly hair broke up with me. I'll never forget her looking at me from her hospital bed, and she goes, baby, I knew he wasn't for you from the very beginning. And I remember, like, sitting there feeling so upset, because when you just got dumped, you're still holding on for hope that you'll get back together. And I was like, no, like, we could still get together. And she's like, baby, he definitely left you. Stop doing that. And as a result of, like, me feeling so, like, prideful and embarrassed, I stopped talking to her. And I remember there would be a moment, I used to call her every day, so it was like clockwork. I would just call her. But because I was so filled with pride and filled with just embarrassment, every single time that I thought to call her, I just kept saying, I'll call her tomorrow. And that tomorrow became days, and that tomorrow became weeks, that tomorrow became months, until I got a phone call from my mom telling me that my bonus mama went to be with the Lord. And I am telling you, friends, like, the last service and this service, this is one of the first time I've ever told anyone this, because it still haunts me to this day, that a person that cared for me so deeply told me the truth in love. I ignored them because what they were saying was in alignment with what I wanted for my world. And I was willing to procrastinate and let go of my relationship all because of the truth that she shared with me didn't align with how I felt. And I stand before you, and I wish I could say that I don't have a regret about it, but I do. And I know God's gonna help me through it the rest of my life, but it's the one regret I have in this life. I wish I would have called her. I wish that I would have been okay with her truth. And maybe you guys don't have the same experience that I do, but there is something in your life right now that God is wanting you to do. And you don't know if tomorrow is promised. And I want to encourage you, today is the day. Today has to be the day where you stop putting off what God has called you to do today and you say tomorrow. It is my hope that when you leave this service, that you look at the word tomorrow differently. You will no longer look at tomorrow as a safety blanket to do the things that you didn't finish today. You'll start recognizing that tomorrow is just an extra day to be obedient to what God told me to do today. Do it today. Now, in the beginning of this message, I share with you guys about how I was inspired by this Nike campaign called Yesterday You Said Tomorrow. And I share with you guys that the first part of their campaign was to post billboards everywhere to stir up conversations with people. But later on, they created one video to speak to every person's goals and dreams. And I wish I can play it for you, but since we don't have copyright privileges, I'm gonna read it to you. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna read to you what was said in this video, and I hope this drives home into your heart how we can no longer move with delay. And this is what was said in the commercial. Ah, the dishes. Don't worry, I'll do them tomorrow. I promise tomorrow I'll start taking care of myself. Tomorrow I'll call him and we'll fix things, because today, it's not a good day. Can we make it tomorrow instead? Man, I'm so excited about this book. I'll definitely start it tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to show my crush how much I care about them, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to exercise every single day, but I'll start that tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will start doing all of those things I always say I will, but never do. My friends, God is calling every single one of you to step into the more. He has purposed you. He has called you. You cannot wait another day. Today is the day. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. Stop putting off what God called you to do to tomorrow. Do it today. And as we get ready to close this message, I want to extend an opportunity for everyone here in this room, anyone here in this room, that if you showed up here today and you're like, you know what? I know that I am here and I need to commit my life to Jesus. I also know that there's someone here in this room that's like, you know what? I need to recommit my life to Jesus. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step into a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to give you opportunity to not wait till next Sunday to start walking with him. You can start doing it today. And I'm going to pray for you too. But I also want to pray for a second group. And this second group is for those who know they've been putting some things off, but you don't know where to start. You don't know where to start with this one thing you know you've been putting it off. And I want to pray over you that God will give you a blueprint and direction on how to navigate this hard thing. So with everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. If you're here in this room and you are saying, you know what? I'm done running away from Jesus. I'm done putting off what I know I should do today. And I want to start walking with Jesus. I want a personal relationship with him. If that is you in this room today, all I want you to do is raise your hand from where you are and I'll lead you in a prayer. And it's just between you and the Lord. If you are ready to walk into a relationship with Jesus, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. You have today. On the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. There you go. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Go ahead and put your hand down. In the privacy of your heart where you are, I want to have you just repeat after me where you are. Say, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that your Son died for my sins and rose again. Today, I repent. Today, I turn away from my old life and step into what you have for me. God, I honor you. I welcome this new life, and I choose you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.